Hi, I'm Emma. I don't know a lot of you, and you probably don't know much about me. So I just very quickly came over from the UK with Steve and my kids, Jackson and Isabel, who, funnily enough, have been more up the front than Steve and I have, which is quite unusual for us as a family. But we came over about a year ago from the UK. So we kind of felt an affiliation with this church, partly because there's Daniel and Julie from the UK, that kind of instantly struck with us. But today I've been asked to give my perspective on church, and I thought that it'd be a good chance just to share a little bit with you about my church journey so far. Now, I had a bit of a heart palpitation about 5 minutes ago when I saw about five people around the computer trying to get it to work again, but it is up and that's great. I have a history of my PowerPoints never working in a church, so fingers crossed today this will work. I'm a very visual learner, so I tend to go quite creative with my PowerPoints, just because then it gives other people something to watch while I'm talking. So hopefully it will speak to you today. So a little bit of a brief history about my church background. I actually originally grew up in Adelaide, and I left here when I was 16. So my first picture up there is the school that I used to go to. I attended St. Mary's College in Adelaide for a few years before I moved over to the UK. And for me, I wasn't a Christian at this point. My parents, I think, got reduction on fees because they knew the head teacher, hence the reason why I went there. But I really gained a lot from going here because there was a real sense of community in this school. But more importantly, for me at that time, it was just that I was kind of made to go to the Mass that you had to go to weekly. I was made to go to the Masses during the church calendar for the Catholic Church. And interestingly, back then, it was still an active nunnery. So we often had nuns walking around. I think it was where retired nuns went, I think, because they were quite old. But that was my perception as a 15-year-old in that school. So that kind of was where I started my understanding of what church was in my head. And then in the next picture, at 16, I moved over to the UK, and my family and I decided that we would continue going to church and started attending a local Catholic church in the UK. That's the sort of the top one over there. And, it's a beautiful building. It wasn't in the nicest of areas, I have to admit, but it was a very beautiful building. And again, I just kind of had this sense of like, you know, this is where I need to be on a Sunday. This is where I need to be exploring my faith. I didn't really know what that looked like. And that's what I did on a Sunday. I went to church and I went home and that was it. I completely forgot about it for the rest of the week. And then while I was at university, I had quite an amazing transformation. God really spoke to me in quite a miraculous way. That's a story for another time. But I then started attending this church, which is the one down the bottom here, because obviously it's the one that you don't recognise. And that was what I would call my home church. That's where I basically grew as a Christian. That's where I spent quite a lot of my time. Got very actively involved in the church. That's where I met Steve. That's where my kids were born. So it's got a real affiliation to me, that church. We left that church a year ago to come over here. It was a very heartbreaking time because we said goodbye to a lot of friends. And then we found Christie's Beach, and that's that church there, as you all recognise. We feel very much like we're being called to come and be part of this church. So all of these buildings are called churches. They are churches that have been in my life. I grew closer to God in them. I found it hard to hear him sometimes in the churches, especially the top two. Buildings stand prominent in the communities that they were built in. The people will know that they're a church because of some symbols like a cross or the words on the church or whatever, the steeple. It's what people see as being a church. But I began to realise, certainly being in the last two churches, that that isn't what church is about. For me, and this is what today's about, is about perspectives. For me, church is about worshipping, and it's about praising my God. It's about praising your God. It's about praising our God. This is what I feel church is about. Church is a, about building each other up. It's about strengthening one another. It's about helping each other on our faith journeys, growing as Christians. It's about supporting each other through those life events. And this often happens inside the building that we call church. But the building itself isn't what church is. So I'm going to give you a little bit of a demonstration. So this is where my creativeness comes out. There you go. This here is a little bit of a demonstration for you. This is the church. I'm not giving it a name. Okay, it's a church building. Let's just call it whatever we want to call it. It stands tall in its immediate location. People know it as the church by the symbols, like the cross and the steeple, maybe the windows and the doors and all that sort of stuff. But what is it that makes the church? The church is, as I said before, it's about the praise and worship. It's about praying for one another. It's teaching each other, helping each other to grow. It's the laughter shared. It's the tears shed. It's the love shown. It's the great coffee that we have quite often makes or breaks in church. It's skipped a slide. No. Okay, I'll go to that bit in a minute. This is what makes us colourful. It makes us the colour that might attract people. The activities we do for the community in the church, they come and they're blessed by the colour we offer. So surely this is church. You know, we are a colourful church. We've cracked it because inside the church we are a united body. But I'm beginning to realise that I don't even know if that is entirely what church is. And for me, this is where I really feel that God is challenging me. It's challenging me to rethink what local church is. So let me demonstrate this a little bit further, although it's skipped a slide, it doesn't seem to be working, because inside that church was a lot of colourful people, because we are a very colourful people inside the church. So here we have the same church in its community. It stands out because the people inside are full of the Holy Spirit. Yes. So you can see all my colourful people inside my church. That's what you should have had in there. So it stands out because the people inside are full of the Holy Spirit. They are in love with their Father God. They sing to him. They love him. They worship him. They show this love by loving one another and meeting together, hopefully more than just on a Sunday. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:26, "What then, brothers? When you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all these things be done for building up." And that's exactly what we are asked to do. The church is really good at worshipping and edifying each other. All of this, plus the activities that are run inside this church, and in Christie's Beach, it's amazing what you guys do here. It makes a difference to the immediate locality. It brings colour and life to the immediate locality. But what if we were to start going out and being a bit more missional further afield? Jesus said in Matthew 28:18-20, says, "All authority in heaven," which actually we've just heard very recently, "all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So if we are called to be missional, do we need to go out and be disciples of the nations? What if people in this church here, what if the people in this church go out and start doing some activities that are more in their community? So let's just say, now this is where I can see it now going completely wrong with my PowerPoint. It did take me a while to do it, but I'm sure it will hopefully work. No, it doesn't. Okay, well, we'll just keep skipping on. Okay, so the idea is you're meant to see the people moving from the church before the colour comes on. But let's just say, for example, that a group of people in the church feel like they want to go and run an activities day in the local park for the children during the school holidays. And another group of people in the church go, "Do you know, actually, we're going to go and support that because we're going to go and run a cafe for the parents to go to, and we can just sit and have a chat with them while the kids are in the park having this activity fun day." All of a sudden, those two groups of people from inside the church have gone out and they have created colour a bit further afield. And let's just say that another group decide, you know, actually, we're going to go to the local library and we're going to set up a group there to offer financial advice to people in the community that might need it. Maybe they might offer some counselling services. I don't know what that might look like, but all of a sudden, this other group of people come along and more colour is created. And it's not just about the bigger picture. It's not about the groups that are going out, because these activities are great. They are fantastic. But, do you know, to have real impact, that takes a lot of people resources. It takes money. It takes time. It takes energy. And we don't always have that to be able to give. So what does God actually mean by about going out and being disciples of nations? It's not just about the activities that we're doing inside the church or outside the church. It's about us individually making a difference as well. So we can actually go to the hairdressers, to the supermarkets, to the homes, in our workplaces, on the street, out into the community. We can start getting our kids involved, going into their schools, going into the parks that they play in, and to chat to the people, their friends. All of these things we are doing, we are opening up opportunities to have conversations, to share the gospel, to share our testimonies, to show love, and to have impact. We are called to share the colour and to create a world where Jesus is the heart of it. Whatever we are doing in our day-to-day lives, we are doing with the love of Christ, and therefore we are having impact. So we can go from a church inside the building to a church in our community, spreading the colour, shining the light of Jesus out. That's not saying that the work that's being done in the building is not important. It really is. And the stuff that gets done here at Christie's Beach blows my mind sometimes. But for me, from my perspective, my challenge at the moment that I feel God is putting on my heart is changing about what local church means. And that was one of the things that really drew us here when we first came. The first time we came here was when Daniel was up here talking about HTML, and we sat there going, whoa, that's big stuff. And we want to be a part of that, because actually this is about being in community. And as Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see the good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. By doing and showing our good works, we're not boasting, we're not going, oh, look at us. What we are doing is we are glorifying and we are amplifying God's love. So I'm just going to end by showing you a commercial. This commercial was created by Sony. So we'll just ignore the commercialised side of this, but actually look at the advert itself. This advert is—it just really spoke to certainly Steve and I over the years. They've done three of them, and this one of them. And it just really, for me, shows about how you can be going out into the community and you can be changing people's perspectives and changing understanding of how something could start off one way and end up being another. So we're going to have a go with playing it. Is it going to work, do you think? Oh, yeah, it's all ready to go. Okay, so I'm just going to let you watch it. I love this commercial. And the fact, if you actually watch how it was made, it's quite impressive, because it wasn't done with any special effects. It was purely done with animators out on the street. I think it won records for the most animators working on a project at one time. This is what, for me, being church in the community is about. It's about coming together and changing the way people see something. And for me, like the rabbits in this commercial or the bunnies, we can gather in our communities, we can change the way people see church. Just like the rabbits morphed and changed to be noticed, we can change the way people perceive to be church. So let's be colour like no other and be a church in our communities. Thank you.
Fantastic. Thank you. Well, I don't have a PowerPoint. I don't even know how to operate one. But thank you, Emma. Thank you for that. That was beautiful. Very descriptive. I want to share with you my perspective of church, but I did think what is a perspective first? I thought I'd better just clarify that. So I went to my dictionary, which I'm trying to get up. And it says in my dictionary, the state of one's ideas, the facts known to one, etc., in having a meaningful interrelationship. That's what I found. I look in the wider church in Australia at the moment, and it's not got a good brand to it. We are, as a church in Australia, really struggling, I think, to get the message out about God's love and forgiveness, because we've been putting out generally a lot of other messages. But I want to talk a little bit about this church. If any of you were born after 1966, some of you were, I'm sure. Well, prior to that, I walked into this church with a wife and four kids. The eldest kid was 8, and the youngest kid was 8 months. And we were 10-pound Poms. We'd just come from the UK. And, we thought we'd landed in paradise, especially with the beach not very far away. My kids just became, their skin was constantly wrinkled. And when I came to this church, I picked up something about it. Emma sort of mentioned, really, that there's something goes on in this church which is quite unique. But I couldn't put a label on it. We came, we got involved. My kids grew up here. We enjoyed fellowship of people. We enjoyed the work of the church. Times when we were down at Rotary Park with movies, Christian movies, and we called it Church in the Park, and that was a good bit of fun, and it gave us the opportunity to do something different in the community at that time, and it was appreciated. But you have to be in this church for a little while to pick up that core of. And I've now found a title for the core. And I'm calling it the Crucible of Grace. There is some. A crucible is a container which holds normally molten metal. It's got a specific job to hold this mainly gold. Why they refine gold, they do it through a crucible. And somehow or other, there's a refining in this church, which is, a refining of grace. And grace is demonstrated in so many different ways. When we see the children out here this morning competing with the musicians, there was grace there. It really was. It touched me. It took me back to when one day one of the older people in the church came to me and said, I need to have a word with you. Oh, I said, yes. Young, my kids were young. She said, when your boys take up the offering, they should have something on their feet. I thought, oh dear. Because they'd just come up from the beach and they were in a pair of shorts and a t-shirt. And I had to say to this lady particularly, and I'm not naming her because she's no longer with us, but some of you may remember her. I said to this lady, "Do you know what? I thank God that my kids came up from the beach and came in and wanted to take the offering up." And then again, there was this, even though there was sometimes a spirit of criticism, because wherever the Church of God is active in the Kingdom of God, there will be criticism. And there's a difference between criticism and where we are persecuted. The church in Australia is not persecuted. It's nowhere near persecution. We get a lot of criticism, but we don't get persecuted. We don't know what persecution is until we start seeing some of the stuff that we saw just now with the Christmas box. So here I am in this church. My wife was a very forthright person, to say the least. Those of you who knew her knew that she had an opinion, and a strong opinion, and she shared it quite readily, very often. And especially when I was preaching, she would have a word. And But we began to get into the core of the church by just being here and enjoying the fellowship and enjoying the fact that, please don't misunderstand me, but this church has never been religious. Never has. It's always been free and always been open and always been rewarding, I find it. I've been a member here for 52 years, and I've enjoyed those 52 years, even though there were times in the history of this church when there was conflict, and when there was misunderstanding, and where there was a question of, where are we going? But nonetheless, this church has been a blessing to many people. And I might add that there are churches in this area that people from here have gone to and enhanced their and enriched their relationship in the church. So Christie's Beach Baptist Church is very precious to me. Yeah. And I just share a particular incident that happened here. And it's to do with, what we used to use as a communion table. And either side of the table, conveniently, I don't know who put them there like that, but it's just convenient. Those two stands were made in a reformatory. They were made in the old McGill reformatory. John would remember that. And the education department decided to change all the desks in the in their schools. So the reformatory was given the job of collecting these desks and dismantling them and sending the iron off to recycling and to stack up the timber, and it was excellent timber, and that's some of it there. So it's made by criminals, young criminals. They were all criminals. Yes. And when you go to pick one of those up, they're very heavy, far heavier than the wood. Let me let you into a secret. There's a plastic bag full of sand from the beach in the bottom of both of them. And that keeps them their center of gravity more, yeah. So my perspective on church is one of warmth, is one of growth, is one of enrichment. Over the years, I've been enriched by what's gone forth from this pulpit. I haven't always agreed with it. I don't always agree with it now either, but so my story is, thank God for this church. Thank God for the blessing he's brought to me. I've had some tragedy in my life. Some of you know that I lost one of my boys to suicide. Well, he's a man. I lost my wife 6 years ago, no, almost. And so I've struggled with personal and emotional pain. But there's always been folk here who have blessed me with a hug, a smile. George, come to tea, will you, next Wednesday? Come and have tea. And that was all, if you like, crucible of grace overflowing. And I received that, and many, I know, you've received that. So let me just say to you that if you can spend 50 years in this place, you'll be blessed.
Good morning. Thank you, Emma, and thank you, George. I actually find it really interesting how different that was and yet how personal and how much it speaks. So I'm going to come from another viewpoint because I think differently. But yet I think the same, because I think some of the threads that are going to come through mine have already been spoken about. So I decided that I would alliterate. Usually I do PowerPoints. This time I decided I would alliterate, and I had a bit of fun with this because some of them are a little bit weird. But anyway, we'll go with it. For me, the church, when I thought about it, I start off with the first P, and that is the people. Because actually I don't think it's a mistake that when in the Old Testament, when they talk about the church, they don't talk about the church, they talk about the temple, they talk about the tabernacle. And it was a physical building, or it was a physical tent where people went. And it was there where the people of God went. But after Jesus came, there is no talk about that anymore. The change is that it becomes the church. And the church was in people's homes. It was wherever they could scurry around to meet. And quite often it's not even descriptive of the building itself at all. It's always about the people. And it's not just about any people, because the Jews were God's people. But he changed from the Jews to allow everybody, for which we are incredibly grateful, because it allows us the right to become the children of God. And that's through being redeemed, through accepting the gift that Jesus gave us. So my second P is the purpose. And the purpose of the church for me is to be like Jesus and continue on in his work. When I'm looking at, I'm just going to get the verse up. And when he talks about his work, there's lots of places where Jesus talks about the fact that he's looking for where the Father is working so that he can join in. In other words, what he's saying to us is it isn't our purpose. Quite often we get a bit mixed with that. We sort of think we've got a thing that we want to do that's going to be really great for the kingdom, and that's actually the thing that's going to have to happen and going to go. But what he's saying to us is actually reevaluate that. It might actually be the thing that you're supposed to be doing, because I believe God puts in our hearts the passion and the creativity to be able to do those things. But sometimes he's actually saying to us, have a stop and look. And then he says, and this is how I want you to do it. As the Father loved me, I love you. Now remain in my love, and if you keep my commands, and he's given us lots of them, and please, I'm not going to go through them today or we'd be here for another year, but keep my commands and you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. He kept his Father's command to the point of death. So he's actually given us an example that is extreme and for me very difficult. That requires a lot of giving up. And I frequently don't quite get there. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. So our whole purpose in church is actually to be like Jesus. Now, he knows us because he built us. And he created us, and he's chosen us to be like him, but he knows that we can't do it on our own. So he has sent us the Holy Spirit. And when you look at the Holy Spirit is indwelling in us, but we can't do any of this without him. It says, and the same, this is John 15 again, I'm the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that's thrown away and withers, and such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. When I was looking at this, I thought, I could actually really talk about the gifts of the Spirit and spend a lot of time talking about this prophecy. Actually, you guys call out to me some of the gifts of the Spirit. Sorry? Love. I'm going to come back to that one. Joy, the gifts of the Spirit, not the fruit. Sorry? Tongues. That's a controversial one. Faith. Sorry? Word of knowledge? Didn't hear that one. Prophecy? Discernment? Teaching? Word of wisdom? Encouragement. I actually did a word study on encouragement once because I thought I was very, very discouraged at the time, and I thought I'd look at encouragement, and actually took it on as a bit of a mantle for myself, because what I discovered about encouragement is not only that it is really important that we do that for each other in the church, because without encouragement, all of us are destined to be isolated and alone and unable to fulfill our own destinies that God's given for us, but that it's a spiritual gift. And if it's a spiritual gift, that means it is doubly important and that it's empowered by the Holy Spirit. Anything else? Often this one isn't spoken about, but I think it's really important. Miracles? Servant. That's the one I'm talking about. It's the one that is often the last one mentioned, and we don't like that one, but it's the thing where we see people doing hospitality, sitting behind the people that spend hours in the kitchen before we have a function and barely do the rest of us recognise it. It's the people that come before church and set up the chairs. It's the people that clean the church. It's the people that do all those tasks that the rest of us are too important to do, actually. But they're the things that make church function. So I thought to myself, well, you know, that's church really, isn't it? But there's one final thing, and I called it the putty. Russell was laughing because I was trying to come up with the last P and it just wasn't functioning for me. But what is the putty? What is the putty? The putty is love. So I'm going to go to Hebrews 1 Corinthians 13, which is a very well-known scripture. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but do not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. In other words, I'm empty and noisy. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast and do not have love, I have nothing. And then it goes on to say, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, love does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonour others. I'm guilty of sometimes doing that, I can tell you. It is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrong, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth, and it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. So when I was thinking about this, I'm thinking to myself, what is it about church that makes it so unique? And the thing about church, aside from Jesus, which is a given, and God, is that when you look at what people do to stay together, it is often because they have a common enemy. So you know when you're looking at groups that are really functional together and they've really got purpose and they really move forward, so it's not about having purpose, it's about the purpose. And once that common enemy has been defeated, they often disintegrate fact, I watched this in Africa. When they were working together to get rid of the colonials, they worked really well and cohesively together. But once that was done, they became tribal and split, and there was inter wars to whoever could get supremacy. But the thing that's different about Jesus is he's saying to us, the thing that should be driving us together is that we love each other. Because here's the thing, even if we lost our purpose, but we deeply loved each other, then we would be looking out for each other in a way that binds us together. Because as a church of God, if we can do that genuinely with all those attributes that we've been given, then we would overlook people's frailties and their mistakes. We would be looking to say, this person's really upset me in what they've done. How can we work together so that we can, as a group, love them back into wholeness and to the kingdom? We'll have prayer meetings, or we'll individually fast so that somebody that we know, when somebody's in difficulty, we can do that. We will go around and give them meals. We will make sure that this person's been looked after by the church, that's good. That person's been looked after, but this person's not. Who can we send to go and do that? We will be asking ourselves the questions when we're being irritated by the hurt. What is it that I need to do to forgive? So for me, I came to this place really broken, and I have been loved back into the kingdom. Can I ask you to continue the good work you're already doing? Please continue the good work that you're already doing. Because it is the love that is the glue, it's the putty, it's the mortar, whatever you want to call it, that holds the building together. And without it, it will just disintegrate.